Welcome to another segment of Beyond the Grassy Knoll. We have with us for our fourth of four interviews, Barbara Hartwell Percival. And if I can bring you back to the first time we did the interview, it was because we hadn't been in touch for quite some time. And yet we had an extended conversation back, you know, Barbara remembers it better than I, probably in 02 or late 01, where she kind of gave me the lay of the land, and I was a little stunned. Well, anyway, fast forward to late last year. I took a look at her blog spot. I wanted to see what was going on, and I read some of her posts, quite a few posts, in fact. And I said, you know, I remember way back when I doubted her, but I only because of my naivete and because I think it's a good thing, and that is, all right, I hear you. Let me see what transpires. And she was right, you know, much more than she was wrong, if she was ever wrong. And so anyway, what we want to do in this particular interview is unfortunately deal with some of the stuff that we have to, and that is, why are there disinfo people out there? Who are they? And what could possibly be the motivations? And so with that, you know, Barbara, thanks a lot for coming on again. Appreciate the time.
Well, I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to be on the air, Keith. You know, I don't do a lot of radio anymore, and one of the reasons is because I've been blacklisted by the very disinfo people that you just mentioned.
But we might as well get right into it. And the thing I want to ask you is this. What's happening of late, a bit, I think, different than what we had seen before and after 9/11, with some people, and I can't understand why they just put this stuff out, and it's almost like fantasy. You got to mix in a little truth, I understand, otherwise nobody will come to you. But it can't all be government. I mean, I'm wondering, some of these people are just looking for their 15 minutes of fame, or they like the attention, the hits they get on their website. I just can't figure out why you would go ahead and be a panderer of bad information.
Okay. Well, you have to remember, Keith, that if looking at this from an intelligence perspective, which is my background, we need to remember that most of the disinformation is promulgated in a very organized manner. It's not just something that appears one day or it's somebody's fantasy. We certainly have people out there that are delusional, there's no doubt about it, but usually what happens is some of the disinformation that is spawned by the government operatives, in other words, to cover up the truth or to mislead people, misdirection on any issue. And what they do is, especially in this COINTELPRO operation, we talked about that a little bit on the other shows, they use amateurs. That's what they do. They don't use professionals. They're like G-man wannabes. That's what I call them.
All right,
you know?
I can agree. Yeah, I can understand
the G-man wannabes. They don't have any background in intelligence work. No background in journalism, research, nothing. I mean, most of them are just uneducated, and as you said, they like to hear themselves talk. They probably have negatively inflated egos, and when one of these government operatives, COINTELPRO type people, approaches them, oh, they're just thrilled. Now I can get myself known as a whistleblower. I mean, these people are unbelievable, because a whistleblower is, by definition, somebody who has come from the inside of something. It's one thing to be a researcher, an investigator, a journalist. That's a separate thing, and it's just as valid. But in order to be a whistleblower, you have to have been inside, a firsthand witness to something. And these people are out there making all these extravagant claims, and they're just nobodies, is the bottom line.
Well, there's two things afoot here. If you're not an original source of information, which I'm not, I get very few inside things, very few.
But you do your own investigations and research, Keith.
But, you know, to be honest with you, long story short, most of what I've done is looking back at history and what we missed. And that's all there. And so that research is for everyone else to share in. As far as getting inside information, and one of the things that goes on, Barbara, and I know you're aware of this, and that is, well, we can't name the source. It's chatter. It's this. It's intel. And it's like, you know, it's okay, and sometimes that's true, but it is so misused just as a cover to throw crap on the wall and hope it sticks.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's one of the tricks that they use, and I find it very foolish and stupid, is they come out with this, oh, anonymous. Well, to me, anonymous equals coward. If you cannot come out with your name and your source of information and say, here's the information, it can be corroborated possibly by multiple sources, or possibly not, but at least give the source, or give why you believe, or why you know this is true, or give the facts. If you can't do that, it's not credible.
Let me add one other thing, and this is a problem, really, with the Internet. And that is, you know, I've used the handle Visigoth, which comes from the days when we were doing pirate radio and didn't want to use our names. So I just keep it. But I'll come on shows. I mean, my name is Keith Hansen, and I don't make any bones about it. I live in Zephyr Hills, Florida.
To hide your identity.
Yeah, and it's just, so the first thing some jerk comes on and goes, well, if your name is Visigoth, and I'm like, dude, check this out. If you have to ask me what my name is, you get what you get, jerk. So if you have to ask me, I can tell you I'm John Smith. Is that okay? So the thing is, okay, you're right. What I didn't like in the last couple of years, and I think this was an orchestrated situation, and it seemed almost template, Barbara. I go to these sites with 9/11 and the bunkers that there was a governmental complicity. Mm-hmm. And the first line is, as an airline pilot, I know. As a structural engineer, I know. I'm like... Mm-hmm. I don't know what you are, man. You can say, you can say you're a carnival, you know, barker, and I couldn't tell. Don't tell me this. These idiots, these drooling masses sit there and they go, oh, he said he was a structural engineer. He must know, or she must know. It's like, you don't know what you're dealing with.
Yes, that's the problem with the Internet, Keith. Anybody could be anybody. There's all kinds of poseurs and, you know, posturing people and liars and...
Yeah,
unfortunately, when somebody does have the truth, and it doesn't matter who the person is, it doesn't matter whether the person is a journalist, a radio show host, a researcher, investigator, or a former insider like me, a whistleblower, it doesn't matter who the person is that's telling the truth. If you're telling the truth and you have integrity, you will be attacked by this army of you know, wannabes and minions and stooges, government stooges.
Well,
it's just the fact of the matter.
And as you've witnessed, if you've watched TV for whatever, you know, however long with some of the cable news shows like CNN and MSNBC and all this other stuff, and if even if you listen on radio, you know, to the blowtorches that put out Rush Limbaugh and all that, there's never ever a really decent debate about anybody who would come on and say, look, the government's story about 9/11 is baloney. Mm-hmm. There never is a debate.
No, of course not.
And so it's gotten ridiculous for anybody, and anybody who goes on coast to coast, or Rush Limbaugh, or calls into Glenn Beck, or this idiot Schnitt down here in Florida, there's no way in the world, bro, no matter how you approach them, that they're not going to turn, you know, like a rabid jackal, and chew on your leg. It's not going to happen anymore, so forget about going to their venue.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't going to work.
Well, you know, I told you this before, Keith, and I think on the other show, too. I don't watch television. I haven't watched TV in over 30 years. I mean, the only time I ever watch television is if I happen to go into somebody's home. I don't even have a cable hookup, but I know what you're talking about. I'm very familiar with what's going on, and it's really absurd. And I think the thing that disturbs me more than anything is there are people out there that are blinded. Yeah, they say the same thing. Oh, I don't watch regular television, or I don't believe anything I hear from the mainstream media, but they believe anything and everything they read on the internet. You know, they think, Oh, the alternative media is great. They have to be telling the truth. We're getting the truth here. And nothing could be further from the truth, because there's a very small percentage of, quote, truth that you will ever find on the internet. It's like anything else.
One of the things you said, and I think it's undeniable, and my former partner Harry and I talked about this, and he really was the sobering one of the two of us, because, you know, I was a fresh puppy dog and believe in everything that I heard. All somebody had to say was they were a Christian, and I was right there. And then he's looking at me, and I considered him jaded. Now, he may have been jaded, but he was right. There's a reason why he was jaded. And now I look back at what he had told me, and I find myself being like he was, because I see so much histrionic, exaggerated, hyperbolic stuff, you know, on radio shows in the alternate, quote, Patriot
I'll tell you
Network.
Something, Keith. There was a time when, I mean, going back some time, maybe 7-8 years ago even or something around that time, I feel badly about it now, but I wouldn't even admit to being a Christian. I kept it to myself because of the idiocy I saw from the so-called Christians that are out there. It was like I just evaded the issue altogether. And you know, because I have the same proclivity, I think, as you do. In my heart, if I believe somebody's a Christian, you know, a real Christian, a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would tend to have more, you know, at least a rapport or a feeling for that person, you know, one of God's children. But when you see what's out there and the liars that are out there and promoting, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a warrior, a great warrior for Jesus Christ, you know, and these people are just idiots. I mean, there's no other way to describe them, you know.
No, I mean, they're brainwashed as well, and that's been the sad show about all of this.
Yeah.
And that was a realization. But I'll tell you what, I mean, discernment's not hard to come by. And if people would just cut off this need to be followers of certain individuals. Look, there are a lot of people I liked that I, you know, would have loved to have been able to sit down and have a conversation with or have a friendship with that turned out to be bogus.
Yeah.
And that stunk. But the thing is, my desire to like them cannot be primary to the fact that they're really snoids. And that's the way it is.
Well, they're doing damage, Keith.
Yes.
And you see, I can tell you this, that I had, in the past, I've had a number of friends that I'm no longer friends with. And I did consider them at the time friends. And when I realized each one of these people, when I realized that the truth wasn't the primary thing for these people, or defending liberty, or being a messenger of truth, that wasn't important to them. The bottom line of importance was that they maintain their own ego aggrandizement, or they make money.
That's right.
Or they follow a party line for agenda politics. And it broke my heart every single time. But I had to walk away because there's no way I'm going to stand there and be a part of lies and, you know, something that is not focused where it should be, which any patriot or any person who values truth, that's what it should be about.
I had recent discussions with a former executive with GCN and Midas,
mm-hmm.
who has since left and has been thinking about creating another network. And we've been going back and forth, and we were wondering what was necessarily the draw on Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given the fact that they are on blowtorch stations
mm-hmm.
across the country, which you cannot deny has great, great power, especially for those advertisers who want people to buy their crap.
Yeah.
However, what he said was, and I agree, and I'm going to modify this too, and I'm going to probably be biting off my own foot, but he said he had a conversation with someone about the pull of Coast to Coast, which is so devoid of the truth, but just so salacious. Mm-hmm. And the individual said, you got a lot of bored people out there who just want to know that there might be a possibility of fantasy, their imaginations, whatever, being real. Well, and Coast to Coast plays to that, but that isn't the truth.
Yeah, no, it isn't. And let me break in here, Keith, and say something. And Coast to Coast is the controlled opposition.
Yes,
there's
it is.
No doubt about it. Yep. In my mind.
Agreed.
I've known about this for many years. I know how these people operate. In other words, they take something sensationalistic and they add the paranormal into the mix, you know? And the paranormal stuff is real. The government, and I was involved in it myself, the government has a lot of black programs that involve the paranormal. It's not that it's not true, it's not real, but these people are put out there to put a spin on and to pretend to be, oh, we're exposing the truth. The government doesn't want you to know. And meanwhile, it's the lies that the government wants you to believe.
One of the things we said also was anybody who pops up on Coast to Coast isn't dealing from the top of the deck. And I will say that includes Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And Steve Quayle. I'm sorry, but I mean, these cats don't get on because they're selling the truth.
Well, let me tell you something here. I think we're starting to get into the first names here. Alex Jones, I haven't told the story yet on your show. I have told it. I think I've told it on maybe some other radio shows. I can't really remember. But Alex Jones had me banned. He ripped me, literally ripped me off the air in 2003, November of 2003. And I was not on Alex's show. I was on Jeremy Floyd on GCN. And I was talking about, I was exposing some truth on that program. And the truth I was exposing had to do with ex-FBI agent Ted Gunderson. And, you know, a lot of the things that he was involved in, really bad stuff, you know, black operations, CIA stuff. And I had firsthand information about some of this stuff, and I had investigated it myself. And, you know, because I used to work with Ted Gunderson for 3 years, between 1997 and 2000, I actually, you know, worked with Ted. I traveled with him on a lecture circuit. I worked cases with him. And I found out after about 3 years that he wasn't what he was
said to be.
Yeah, he was something else altogether. And Ted broke my heart. You know, I've told Ted that personally. You broke my heart because I love Ted. You know, I loved him. I thought he was like a father to me. You know, that's how I saw him. And when I found out some of the stuff that was really going on, being who I am, I told him, this is the end of the road, Ted. In other words, in good conscience, I can't continue this association, friendship with you. And anyway, it took me a few years. It was like in 2000 when I broke off my association with Ted Gunderson. And by 2003, I had gone on this show, Jeremy Floyd on GCN. It wasn't the first time I'd been on Jeremy's show, but this was the first time I actually started to expose some of this stuff about Ted Gunderson. And also one of his associates, John DeCamp. And I don't want to go into the details on this program. I will name them, but not about what I was speaking about on the program. But anyway, what happened is that Alex Jones called Jeremy during the broadcast and basically told him, get Barbara Hartwell off the air. She's got to go. You got to get her off the air. And Jeremy basically ignored Alex Jones and just continued with the interview. And so finally, Alex literally pulled the plug. Alex Jones pulled the plug, and then he threatened Jeremy Floyd that he was never to have any dealings, any never speak to Barbara Hartwell again.
Well, let me ask you, was it Alex Jones or Michael Trudeau or Ted Anderson?
It was Alex Jones.
Okay.
because I have Jeremy's testimony on this too. I published it on my website, by the way. Anybody, let me give out the blog spot. It's barbarahartwell.blogspot.com, and I have a few articles on there. I think one of the reports is GCN and Alex Jones ban Hartwell for truth. That's one of the titles of the article. Anyway, then it got even worse, because after Jeremy was threatened by Alex Jones, I'm not saying that some of these other network executives were not involved. I'm sure they were, but Alex Jones was the point man on this one. And so he threatened Jeremy, and Jeremy, I guess, basically told him to go to hell because you're censoring me and you're censoring my guests, and you don't have the right to do that. And Jeremy quit. He quit GCN. And as a result of this, and he wrote something on it himself. It's in my article, I believe, on my website. Jeremy told the whole story. He was telling the truth. I was telling the truth. And, of course, Alex Jones lied. He claimed that he fired Jeremy Floyd. That did not happen. Jeremy Floyd went over to Truth Radio, another station. I don't know if you know that station.
No, that one I missed.
Okay, but anyway, it's a smaller station. It doesn't have, it's nowhere near what GCN listeners, you know, the number of listeners.
That one is, yeah.
It's a little Christian station, Truth Radio. But anyway, Jeremy went over there for a while. But the whole point is that immediately after this, I mean, I knew why it happened. I knew why it happened because Alex Jones and the people over at GCN were protecting Ted Gunderson. They were protecting Ted Gunderson. They didn't want the truth out there. You know, they didn't want the truth out there. And then it later emerged that what some of these connections actually are. You know, why are they protecting Ted Gunderson? You know, why are they promoting Ted Gunderson and John DeCamp? Why? And yet a person comes on just telling a truthful story with facts, with facts. I mean, it's not like I didn't have the facts or didn't have evidence. Instead of allowing me to speak, I'm ripped off the air. And not only that, I was banned, basically, from GCN, from the whole network. So well, what do you think about that?
All right, a couple things. And let me just say this, because this is me saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I had on three guests talking off the record about John DeCamp. Now, this is where it gets weird, and I can be convicted of the same thing that I've convicted others of doing, and that is, well, my intelligence. Well, I'm not so sure those people wouldn't come out and say anything about it, but you made a statement that was cautionary about John DeCamp, and I was like, what?
You know, because I just years ago, Keith.
Yeah, and of course, this is after I just read the Franklin cover up.
Okay.
And I had seen the video, and I'm like, and that's when I was like, well, all right, Barbara, okay. But now let me fast forward. So this is me saying it, not Barbara. I said three guests. Two of them were a husband and wife team that deal with ritual abuse survivors, and another was accosted by DeCamp.
Mm-hmm.
All right, forgive me, but you had said to me he might be part of the problem.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's it. So, you know, that's where it ends. I let that go. I thought about it. And then it was just last year, or I think it was probably 2007, when I was talking to these individuals, and independently, without knowing, the couple from the other person who said something had said, no, this guy's not clean. Well, there you go.
Well, here's the thing, Keith. Also, one of the things that really raised a ruckus, because I did tell the truth, the person who actually, without going to any details on this program, but I can tell you this, that I confronted Ted Gunderson in 1999. It was November of 1999. I was at his son's house His son lives in New Jersey, and I had just spoken at a conference with Ted, and he invited me and my bodyguard to spend a couple of days with his family, and we did. And, you know, I confronted Ted with something, and I said, is it true, without giving the specifics here on this program, but I said, is such and such true regarding John DeCamp? And Ted Gunderson admitted to me that what I had told him was true. I didn't ask him. I told him I already knew about it, because I did. And I did not give Ted my source at the time. I simply confronted him with the facts of what I knew to be true. I said, I have it from an unimpeachable source, and I just need to know if you know about it also. And he told me that he did know about it. And at that time, I was horrified, naturally, because I said, Ted, how could you be covering for this person? How could you? You know, at this time, I didn't even know everything that I know now about Ted Gunderson, about some of the black ops that he was involved in and all kinds of things. But, you know, I was horrified, and I said, there's just no excuse. You know, there's no excuse, and that ended my friendship with Ted Gunderson. I in good conscience, you know.
Well, I mean, DeCamp did a good work with the Franklin cover-up, but now, and I'll say this is supposition based on some kind of logic, and that is the reason he was able to get that book out was because Colby was backing him. And then when Colby died, whoops, but I mean, at least it got out, and I'm sure that, you know, well, I'm not sure about anything, but it would seem that DeCamp was backed, was able to get the information, did his job. And then, of course, when Colby was assassinated, now all of a sudden, DeCamp's twisting in the wind, but there was supposedly some items, I guess you could say, where they didn't have to kill him, but they could at least blackmail him into shutting up from that point on.
Well, that's how they operate, Keith. You know, I mean, that's the really sad thing to me. I mean, most of those people... Anybody who reaches a level of in the government, like John DeCamp, you know, or Ted Gunderson, most of those people are compromised, and they do it on purpose. I mean, they whatever their character flaws are that would allow them to get involved in these dirty dealings, I mean, that's something between them and God. I mean, that's not something I can even comment on. But if somebody's dirty in that way, they'll find out about it, and they will use it against you.
Well, the thing about Gunderson, and I mean, this is no crime, but I did find it interesting that he had such a ubiquitous nature. I mean, he was everywhere he had to be.
Sure.
And, you know, and you wonder, is anybody really a former FBI agent, especially if you've been in SAC? And I'm like, well, I don't know. But then, of course, one of the things that's not brought out to light is that he's the CEO of HEB Incorporated, which is the umbrella organization that supports the American Free Press.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a major Jew-bashing outfit, too. So.
Oh, of course. And that thing, you know, it's funny because I didn't really pay much attention to that publication. Somebody showed it to me a few years ago, and I just laughed. I looked at it. I started reading some of the articles, and I laughed, and I said to the person, I said, hey, this is filled with disinformation. I just looked at it. I can tell. I mean, I have a radar. I know what I'm reading here. And I said, this is a propaganda organization, you know? And if it's one thing I can't tolerate, Keith, it's Jew bashing or bashing of anybody for that matter.
Agreed.
You know, I don't care who it is. That's just plain wrong, you know?
Well, I mean, and I'll admit this, too. One
yeah.
is that I do not see, I think Christians are badly deceived, that the nation state of Israel is any fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. To me is complete misconstruing.
Yeah, well, that's another issue, too. But,
right, but the thing is, my point is that people will say
doing,
to me...
What they're doing, though, is basically it's politically expedient for them to promote propaganda, demeaning and denouncing a whole group of people, you know, to meet their own ends, get what they want.
My only point was that, you know, I don't defend Israel. Like, I don't defend any nation because to me, it's none of my business. But secondly, I have to say that identifying quote, Jews, whoever that is,
yeah,
as the bane of the world, I think is extremely dangerous.
That's absurd. It's horrible. I mean, I've had people, but before I get off on that tangent, let me just get back for a minute. This is really important to understand. Ted Gunderson was COINTELPRO. He was one, you know, the COINTELPRO operation that we talked about on a couple of the past shows?
Sure, everybody
else
knows
that. And that was started in 1956 by J. Edgar Hoover. Ted Gunderson joined the FBI in 1951, and he was one of the head honchos of COINTELPRO for as long as he was in there. I mean, you know, he was deeply, deeply involved, and that's what they're denying. You know, he's an expert. He's an expert in counterintelligence. He has admitted it openly. I mean, he's an expert in counterintelligence. And this is where this whole thing comes from that we were talking about. It's the COINTELPRO. Yeah, supposedly, officially, the program was discontinued, but that's the same lie as saying MKUltra or any of the other programs were discontinued. They're still out there. They're just under different names and operations. And the same people are still, the ones that are alive, they're still involved, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know, the point is that when I started to find out, here's another example, okay, here's another perfect example, is that in 1998, and I was still friends with Ted, in 1998, Ted Gunderson married the widow of Anton LaVey. Her name is Diana Rively. And, in fact, I got a phone call from Ted telling me that he got married, and to whom. And I talked to Diana. She was, you know, Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, okay? And so I talked to Diana for hours on the phone. And then I got another phone call from Ted a few months down the road and telling me that the marriage didn't work out. Actually, no, I got a letter. I still have it. It's a handwritten letter from Ted Gunderson telling me that the marriage didn't work out. Well, come to find out, some time goes by. Suddenly, Ted Gunderson is denying on public radio shows, in interviews, he's denying that he married Diana Rively, that he was ever married to her. The marriage was annulled, is what happened. But do you see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just told the truth. You know, I was there. I mean, I wasn't at the wedding, but I was a personal confidant of Ted Gunderson. He was my friend. He told me what happened. I talked to his wife. And then he comes out calling me a liar. He says I'm CIA, and he's got all his little minions out there that are fabricating stories. Oh, Barbara Hartwell, her handlers are in the shadow government. She's an evil creature that works for CIA. This is what he's spreading all over the internet, and his minions, Ted Gunderson, the primary PR shill for Ted Gunderson is Ken Adachi. You know who he is, right?
Yeah, I've had the displeasure.
Yes, the displeasure. Absolutely. This guy, Adachi, I mean, he's a buffoon. That's the best way I can describe him. But
I
he's
probably
been
would
running,
second that, yeah.
Yeah, he's been running a libel campaign against me since 2000. That's right, since 2000. He has a huge section on his website, the title of which is Barbara Hartwell, CEO of and founder and CEO of Liars Inc. Okay? And he has the most outrageous lies that I have ever seen on that website. And it's all about Ted Gunderson. You know, I never heard of this Adachi until suddenly one day I find this article, you know, written by Ted Gunderson. Actually, it was a letter to me, an open letter to Barbara Hartwell from Ted Gunderson. And in it, he attacked all kinds of people. It really, the letter didn't even seem to be about me. He just took it as an opportunity to attack all these people that maybe he thought knew the truth about him. I don't really know, but it was unbelievable. And ever since that time, I'm featured. Barbara Hartwell, CIA, you know, this evil CIA agent, disinfo agent. I've been called the Merchant of Venom. I've been called the Crimson Viper.
Well, at least they're creative.
Yeah, very creative.
I like that.
Okay, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well,
but
go ahead.
But how many people, the question is, oh, it makes me angry. I certainly exposed Adachi all over my website. I mean, this guy is a con man, a shill.
But he's an idiot.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
But all right, let me just tell you what happened between us. I addressed something that was on his website, and not in a antagonistic way. I just questioned him on something, and you know, and anybody listening to this show who has gotten emails from me know that I don't use caps, capital letters. Mm-hmm. I write like, you know, what, E.E. Cummings. I don't use caps. I just, because I just go faster and I make less mistakes. So I just wrote him something. Now, I never did this on air, but Andy Sr. from the Utikins for 9/11 Truth, I sent him the exchanges because we howled. I sent this to Adachi, what I would say, you know, in a right spirit. And he goes on to school me about the use of capital letters. But what gets really good is the fact that in his schooling me grammatically, and I, an English teacher, has misspellings and grammatical, just incorrect structures. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. Well, I'm just glad you straightened my ass out. And I mean, what an
Adachi
idiot.
Is a pompous fool. You know, he writes about all these issues that he doesn't have the slightest understanding of. And he writes these like things about the new world, an overview of the new world order, all this stuff. And meanwhile, his website is filled with just Mickey Mouse metaphysics, I would call it, New Age garbage.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a lot of New Age stuff. And I've told Christians to get out of there.
No basis in fact whatsoever.
No. And even if it is, I mean, the thing is, it's New Agey, and it's just, get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
So, I had a laugh, though. That was good. Adachi was one of the better ones. Holy mackerel.
Oh, yeah. And then he promotes some of the people that he was promoting. Okay, I mean, it was really pathetic because the only people that he would promote were the people that would promote and defend Ted Gunderson, people like Tim White. Now, Tim White, here's a predicate felon, a career criminal who made a deal in 2002 to get out of jail free, you know, get out of jail free card for drug trafficking, and he gets out of jail, and guess what he starts to do? Of course, he agrees to attack patriots, attack whistleblowers, stalker. He's a stalker. He had so many restraining orders, I lost count. I went out in debt to Denver and investigated it myself. A woman named Doreen Bishop was being stalked by Tim White, and she actually used to call me on the phone crying, can you help me? Can you help me? The police wouldn't help. Nobody would help. I went out there, and, I talked to her. I got the court documents, and guess what? He's still out there. Other people have had restraining orders. I don't know if you've heard of a journalist called Janet Phelan.
Phelan rings a bell, but no. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, she's an investigative journalist. And, he started stalking her, too. And as a result of the stalking, she tried to get a restraining order. So many people, harassing phone calls, stalking. He puts out the most amazing, unbelievable trash, libel. He's another one that says I'm CIA, and I mean, it's unbelievable, and nobody stops him. Keith, I have called, this is the truth, I have called over a period since 2001 when he first started, you know, harassing me. I have called the FBI in probably 5 states. I've called police departments all over the country trying to get this guy to stop this person. This guy is a whack job, Tim White. And he's another one, a G-man wannabe. You know, he promotes Ted Gunderson, John DeCamp. He writes all these things on the Internet. Oh, I'm a personal friend of Ted Gunderson. I'm a personal friend of John DeCamp. John DeCamp is going to sue Barbara Hartwell for libel. And actually, John DeCamp used Tim White as a messenger boy. Both Ted Gunderson and John DeCamp used Tim White as a messenger boy to say, to make threats against me. It's unbelievable. Why would they pick, here's the question, why would these people, these powerful, you know, high-level, former high-level government officials, why would they be using some kind of a whack job G-man wannabe like Tim White. Why do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what happened was you had warned me about him, but I had nothing to do with him.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened was a number of personalities, I guess, got involved with Eric John Phelps, and White was one of them. And I'm going, I think this is the White that Barbara was telling me about. And really, it was nothing, not a real big deal. But then he started, we had this email group, right? And I was involved in it as White was, and it emanated from Eric John Phelps. And then White sent some stuff out, and honestly, I cannot be specific, but I was like writing back like, what are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
And then he got, and he said some like strange stuff to me. And I wrote Eric in an email, and I said, Eric, is this guy addressing this stuff to me? Because this guy's so incomprehensible, I have no idea what he's doing. And secondly, Eric, what are you doing with this jerk around? So anyway, I mean, that was the limit of it. I mean, I looked at him, and I put him on a list of nutsos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, see, but the whole thing is they sicked this guy on me, Keith, just as they have sicked Tim White on other people. And everybody that has ended up being harassed, he'll make harassing phone calls. I had to change my phone number. This is many years ago, but I actually had to change my phone number because of harassing phone calls from Tim White. This guy is absolutely demonic. That's the only way I can describe him, and I don't use that word lightly. I'm talking about somebody that's so far gone that he'll do anything.
But it's like they got nothing constructive to do in their lives. It's like, go away. I mean, you know, they just haunt this stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy is I mean, just, I can't imagine anybody lower than this guy. I mean, this he's a transvestite. A transvestite. Oh, yeah. When the arrest happened out in Colorado in 2001, August of 2001, people that I knew, I didn't know them at the time, but I got to know them later. I got the testimony of witnesses. This is after, you know, I realized what was going on and who this guy was and that he was being used to harass people. I mean, they went to his warehouse where he was living and uncovered this whole back room filled with, like, sleazy women's clothing and sex gadgets and pornography. It's disgusting.
Well,
I mean,
it sounds like
disgusting.
Bush's White House.
What?
It sounds like Bush's White House.
Yes. I mean, but this is what I'm saying.
But, I mean, are you saying this about Tim White?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the whole thing is you take a character like this, somebody who's so twisted, okay, and who operates out of spite and hatred, you know, and he's a G-man wannabe. He made a deal with the feds and say, well, we'll let you go, but you're going to go after Barbara Hartwell and others because it's the same people out in the FBI out in Denver who threatened me. I had these FBI agents out in Denver, same ones he made the deal with. They threatened me, Keith. I mean, they basically used an intermediary, and they basically said, well, you know, Barbara Hartwell is a problem for us, and she's stirred up a lot of trouble. She's created a mess. The mess I created was I told the truth about some things, all right? And they threatened that if I didn't take my website down, they were going to, quote, bring the roof down on Barbara Hartwell. So I basically, I told this little conduit, it's another person, I told this little conduit who delivered the message, I said, you just tell these people they can go to hell. They're heading there anyway. If they have something to say, let them come directly to me and say it. You know, I'm doing nothing unlawful. You know, this is the kind of web of corruption, Keith, that we are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're using people like Tim White, a predicate felon, career criminal, whack job, psycho stalker, transvestite. What does that tell you about the people that are using him?
Well, at least that's all the basic food groups, right?
Well, it's the old birds of a feather, you know, birds of a feather.
And also, let me say this at this juncture. I just went ahead and took a search. If you go to www.manta, that's MANTA, .com, and punch in HEB, comma, Incorporated, or Inc., you will come up with that company and the information on it. And in it, it says, in parentheses, American Free Press, 645 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast, Washington, D.C. But what cracks me up is that the what we have here. Okay, let me just take a look here. Okay, it doesn't say CEO, but what it says is contact's name, Theodore Gunderson.
Yes.
Contact's title. Oh, here we go. Chairman of the board.
Of course.
So this guy who likes to distance himself from this kind of thing is actually the head honcho over American Free Press, which is a Jew-bashing piece of crap.
Again, we come back to the COINTELPRO. You know, they put out, they use a lot of, a lot of their tactics are everything is covered up. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they have front men, point men, and they're out there in the media. And that's a specialty of COINTELPRO. They use the media, in this case the alternative media, and, you know, they use the media to put out disinformation. And if they want to target somebody, a person like myself or any number of others, my friend Gerald Sosby, also the ex-FBI agent, he's targeted for all kinds of hellish harassment and persecution. They've attacked him as well. I had this idiot, Ken Adachi, he put out one day, and the only reason I think that Gerald was attacked was because he's a my friend, you know. This is what they do. But he put out some idiotic piece about Barbara Hartwell. Barbara Hartwell is a CIA, blah, blah, blah. And then and the only coverage she gets from it, nobody reads her website, and the only coverage she gets is from government-controlled whistleblower flunkies like Gerald Sosby. Now, where did that come from? Nothing could be further from the truth. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, and again, when we spoke at length that time, all those years ago, you kind of gave me a heads up. And yeah, like I said, I re-listened to the phone conversation because at that time I was a newbie and a lot of this stuff, you know, shook my fillings and my teeth.
But you have to find out for yourself.
Yeah, you have
I respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just take anybody at their word. You have to go through it and find out for yourself. Right?
Yep, and that would bring us to another personage.
Okay.
And saying this does not come easy, and it won't be for you because we had dealings with this individual across some time, and things were good.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, things got really strange.
Okay.
When this individual partnered up with this Flacco and Hennigan,
yes,
I don't know what else, Mary Schneider or whatever, and I'm like, what in the world happened here? And that's Stu Webb.
Yes, yeah. Let me just say something here about Stu Webb. I mean, I love Stu. To this day, I love Stu Webb. He was my friend. He was my friend for God. Almost 6 years, we were very good friends.
What's not to like about Stu? I mean, really, he's a good guy.
But well, I can tell you what happened, and I'm in total agreement with you here, Keith. I mean, I can tell you what happened, I mean, briefly, because we don't have a lot of time left, but I can tell you that Stu, when it first started out, I hear an echo on the line.
No, we're fine here.
Oh, we're okay? All right. Yeah, when Stu had, and still has, when I first knew Stu, he had a lot of solid information, factual, solid information. And when I first knew him, I considered him a legitimate whistleblower. He had the facts, he had information, and his heart and his head were in the right place, in my opinion. And then as time went on, as soon as you mentioned, when he hooked up with this character, Tom Hennigan, the Al Gore promoter, who, of course, Tom Hennigan was Al Gore's right-hand man. He was a campaign manager for Al Gore way back.
Well, no wonder he didn't win.
Oh, yeah, they promote Al Gore, you know. And the thing is that then they, you know, they, since I was already working with Stu at the time Hennigan came into the picture, the two of them tried to you know, recruit me into their little Al Gore, you know, thing. And I said no. And I basically told why. I said, I know what Al Gore is. I know who he is. He was involved in some things that I was also involved in way back from CIA, and some of it was New Age movement stuff, that he's not a good guy, he's not honest, And I want nothing to do with Al Gore.
Hey, is Al Gore bi?
What?
Is Al Gore bisexual?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, all right. I'm guessing.
You know
he
what? I would have no way of knowing, but, all I can tell you is that I make my decisions, as I'm sure you do, Keith. I make my decisions not on political ideology or anything. I make my decisions on principle. In other words, if a person is not a defender of liberty with no compromises, is not a messenger of truth, that's the most broad way I can say it, I don't want anything to do with that person, which unfortunately rules out most of the people that are out there, doesn't it?
Yeah, and let me just explain something, too, because, let me say the good things.
Okay.
Stu had started to train, T-R-A-I-N, mm-hmm. guests to me for a consecutive number of weeks when I was on the AM stations over in Dade City.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine, but we hadn't made any arrangements for the next show, per se, and we would normally have done that, but we didn't, so I had made arrangements to bring on another guest. And as I'm walking into the station, Stu rings me on the cell phone, goes, "Well, you're ready to go." I'm going, "Stu, what are you talking about?" He's going, "Well, I got another person." I'm going, "Stu, this isn't like the Stu Webb Presents thing." But, I mean,
yeah.
It's okay. But here's what happened, and this got really interesting, and you can relate to this maybe and respond to it if you will. And I'm sorry this happened this way, but he brought on Jackie McAuley. Do you remember that name?
I know Jackie.
With the McMartin case.
Yes, I know Jackie.
All right. Now, Jackie came on, but here's what happened. I crawled on my knees to, you know, basically to beg forgiveness for bumping my scheduled guests. But Jackie came on, and, I felt bad for her because, and I trust her, but the thing was, she sounded very, very skittish. And her volume was really low, and she didn't seem at all at ease. And I had done no research, and that McMartin situation was so far from my, cognizance.
Yes.
I couldn't ask reasonable questions, and it was a painful, and I'm sorry, but, I mean, I was like, "Stu, damn," you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is not the way to do these things, and I never talked to Jackie again. And then after that also, Stu got out of hand. And I'm going to say this and understand, okay? This is like, what was that movie, Where Art Thou, Brother? I mean, Stu would come on the air, and we were at the AM stations. Now, remember, you said that censorship is not necessarily the right of the station owners. Well, it kind of is.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is.
All right. So the thing is, the whole bit about the Bush family being pedophiles and sacrificing children in Sidonia Castle. You know what? I really don't doubt that all goes on, but you can't say it on air unless you can back it up.
Okay, well, exactly, Keith. Here's the thing. One of the problems that I had with Stu and was that I told Stu, here's my policy. I told him from the get-go, from day one, I said, "Look, here's my policy. I do not write up articles or speak about anything on a radio show or TV show unless I can back up what I'm saying, unless I have evidence, unless I have some facts or personal knowledge." And I said, if you want to go out and do that, that's your business. But don't try to drag me in, and don't try to get me to promote this, because I'm not going to do it.
Well, what happened with us is he started on this, and Harry, who sat across the way from me, mm-hmm. held a hand to his face, like with a space between his index and middle finger, with his eye poking out.
Yes.
And I'm nodding, going, I know. And then the station manager, actually he was the owner at the time, who loved us, looked at me. I'm going, I know.
Yes.
I waved to him because I had to do a disclaimer. Now, let me say this. Again, he might be right, and we don't necessarily think he's wrong. But you have to back it up, or you have got to flee that, because they will come down on the stations.
Of course.
But here's the other thing that really, really queered the deal. When Stu went into this thing about being confronted with like the 500-pound Baphomet with the bifurcated tail?
Oh, yeah, I remember that story.
Well, what happened was, you remember when Where Art Thou, Brother came out or whatever that was with George Clooney, and he goes into that rap. Well, when that happened, I mean, Harry looked at me, and he just burst out laughing. I mean, he had to choke himself off from the mic.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, I know. You know, this is not going to go over well.
Well, yeah, Stu, I'll tell you something. He comes out with some pretty bizarre stories. And it's not that I doubt, believe me, Keith, it's not that I doubt that he himself believes what he's saying or perhaps even has experienced some of these things. I mean, all kinds of things are out there. But the way that he presents the information, it does sort of destroy the credibility of what he's trying to convey, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't doubt that he was once plugged in, and it seems he was, and badly scorned, and I can understand the sting of that with his former marriage.
I'll tell you one thing that I absolutely know to be true, because I can tell you just from my own experience that I listened for many, many, many hours to Stu telling me things, you know, he was relating to me terrible things that have happened to him, just horrible things, you know. And some of them involved Ted Gunderson, some of the things that were done to him. And I actually had tears rolling down my face. I was so upset hearing this. There's no doubt whatsoever that Stu has been badly, badly burned and you know, damaged and everything like that. I my heart goes out to him. But the way to respond to it is not to go off the deep end and exaggerate things and you know what he does. That does not give him credibility.
No. And I mean, we will agree, he came from a place where he had insider knowledge. He is a very likable human being.
Yes.
But it got to a point and that's why I didn't even dare contact you, because I figured you'd jump me.
Because of Stu?
Well, because you know what? It's like I can go so far. And yeah. I mean, we looked, and I mean, we had to start doing disclaimers at the station, which is only reasonable, but it was because of Stu. And let me mention one other thing, and let me ask you this, if this fits right in your recollection. I would say, because I was a heavy-duty GCN listener at the time, that what got Jeremy kicked off was having Stu on.
That's another possibility.
Well,
Jeremy wasn't kicked off. He quit.
Well, we can argue about that, but let me just say this. Jones was listening to Floyd because they were starting to prepare him as being like the next Alex Jones.
Yes.
Miller was grooming him. Everybody was fawning him and petting him. Personally, I thought he was okay, but I didn't think he was all that. But anyway, he had Stu on, and Jones called GCN and said, "Do you know what good old Stu is saying?" So, in other words, like Jeremy or not like Jeremy, no problem. But the thing is, here you go to one of these situations where it's like, Stu, guys, you can't say this. You either got to cut him off, do something, or we got to dump him. My understanding is they dumped Jeremy in back of the Stu Webb thing.
Well, anything is possible, Keith. You know, I'm sure a lot of things were going on there. And I know that Stu, for quite some time, Stu and Jeremy were working very closely together, and it was almost like, you know, a lot of Jeremy's information or what he was focusing or pursuing came from Stu Webb. So I do know that to be true.
No, and I mean, Jeremy obviously was classic and had been brought along, and I, you know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But to go to the wall at the time when Stu was probably, shall we say, going south, was unfortunate.
Yes. Well, let me say one more thing here.
Sure.
I think this is important for me to mention. This relates to Alex Jones. Now, this is not something that I can prove. I don't have any evidence. So I'm going to state it as just a personal opinion.
Okay.
But it's an opinion. Let me put it this way. It's a considered professional opinion. And my opinion is that Alex Jones is being, in some way, sponsored back by CIA. And the reason I say that is because I was involved, you know, while I was still inside CIA, with the media. I think we mentioned that on another show. And what they do is they groom people, you know, they groom people to be exactly what Alex Jones is, and it's part of the controlled opposition. And if you look at who he kicks off the show, someone like myself, a genuine person, okay, and some of the people that he promotes, you can see it right there. In other words, they're picking and cherry picking, you know, picking and choosing.
Yes, agreed. Yep.
Who all is going to get on? Ted Gunderson and John DeCamp are fine and dandy, okay, because they're promoting a party line. They're cover up of a cover up, I call it. Not the Franklin cover up, but the cover up of a cover up. And you know, you get a truthful person like myself, who I'm just going on there. I'll tell you exactly what I know. If I don't know, I'll say I don't know. If I have evidence, I'll say. If I don't have, I'll say it's an opinion. But they can't have that, Keith. No, they can't have that because it upsets the apple cart. You know, the plot, whatever they're heading towards. And I'm not the only person that believes this, you know, no. About Alex Jones. There's another website. It's called Spiritually Smart.
Yeah, it's Tom Richards.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, he's a Jersey boy. I know him.
Okay, you know him?
Yep.
Okay, Thomas Richards.
Yep.
And he's put out some really astute things about Gunderson and DeCamp. And, you know, I don't know how he arrived at his conclusions, but I tend to agree with what he has, because these are things that I had already come to the conclusion myself. It's just like what you were saying earlier, people that don't know each other, you know, and they all reach the same or similar conclusion. It tends to strike you as being more likely, you know, if a number of people have arrived at this conclusion, right?
Well, there's an old Yiddish saying that, I don't know if I've mentioned this on air, I don't think I have, that if one person calls you a jackass, pay them no mind. If two people
yeah.
call you a jackass, get a saddle.
But
let me tell you something I thought was really character and real class about Tom Richards. I went after Eric John Phelps because of his association with this oleaginous mountebank piece of crap by the name of Greg Szymanski. Sorry, but he's a liar.
Keith, I could not agree more. I've seen the stuff that this guy has put out. And I know for a fact that he's actually put bogus interviews out
yes.
that never took place.
He did.
All
he
kinds
lied.
Of spreading of disinformation.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. All right, now, I sent this out to Richards, and he lit into me pretty good. And we got into it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. We just left it. I don't do these things because I have a vendetta or because I feel like it. I do it because it's garbage.
And you're interested in just the truth.
But Richards, I will say, came back to me after a time, and he goes, "You know what?" He goes, "Yeah, you were right. I think I owe you an apology." Okay, no problem. Let's get on with business.
From what I can see, Thomas Richards is a straight arrow. He's an honest person. You know, I've read some of his stuff. So that's nice that he apologized.
No, and I mean, I don't mean to put anybody's nose in the dirt. The thing is, the guy was decent enough to do it, and you know, if you're going to be also Christian about this, you don't will it over anybody, going like, okay, I just said cool. I said
yeah.
I appreciate it. That's really, you know, okay, fine, and off we went. And you know, I find no fault with him or he with me, and. That's the way, you know, that
yeah.
stuff is supposed to go. But the thing was, you know, I mean, that he had the class to do that.
Yes.
And look, I mean, I've screwed up too, and I've had to go back groveling, and rightfully so, for injuring people, and that's the way it goes. If you did that, and you
if
were
you're
wrong.
If you're an honest person, and you've made a mistake, especially about, you know, making a claim about somebody that you found out wasn't true, it's the only thing to do is, I've done it too, Keith, I've come out and said something about a person only because I had every reason to believe that thing was true. And if I found out it wasn't true, I apologize and said I'm very sorry and publicly I'll apologize even. Obviously, if it's a public thing,
yeah.
you know, it's the only thing to do.
I'll say this. SpirituallySmart.com is a good site to...
I agree.
Well, I mean, because, you know, Barbara, we've never talked about this, but... The Vatican has got very dirty hands across centuries.
Yes.
And he's willing to go out, and I'm in back of him too. And even if Eric John Phelps got a little strange, he still did a decent original work. And all we're
yes.
trying to tell people is, especially Christians, mm-hmm. and this is where it gets really hard, and that is everybody looks at the Vatican like, oh, well, they're just old monks and cardinals. That is a great disguise.
Yeah, of course.
And that is where Satan, in my estimation,
yeah.
And I'll only say this, Barbara, because I don't mean to affix it to you, but to me, Satan is set up in that place, and the Second Holy Roman Empire is what it desires.
Oh, I know, Keith. I know. I don't disagree with you there. You know, I don't have, it's not my focus. You know, my focus is more along the lines of,
I understand, yeah.
You know, human rights and defending liberty, government corruption, stuff like that. But yeah, I know all about that. I know all about that. It's not my focus, but I do not disagree with you.
No, and I just want to say that I'm glad you brought up spirituallysmart.com because
I recommend that website. Like I said, I've read a lot of the things on it, and what first drew me to it was actually the Gunderson. He actually published some of my material on there about Tim White, because Tim White started harassing him. And I went to the site one day on a search for something else. I found the site, and I found my material published on the site, and it was basically me writing about, who is Tim White? Who is this guy? Why is he the messenger boy for John DeCamp and Ted Gunderson? It was all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I found my stuff published on there, and then I started reading the website, and I said, yeah, this guy has some good stuff on the website, you know? And I believe also, just from my own discernment, I believe him to be a genuine, spirit-filled Christian, which is important to me anyway.
Yeah, and you know, like, I'm sorry we got into it, but I mean, I agree with that. And also, the last thing he sent me was something from another Jew basher by the name of Robert Stockman, who's an idiot.
Have you? No, I never heard that name.
You have or haven't?
No.
Okay. And I just wrote it. I dashed off a note. I mean, you know, Tom and I are not necessarily, you know, kissing cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote to Tom because he addressed him going, Tom, I go, don't waste your time with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Jew basher. That's what he's
Well, you
he's
know, the worst, let me just get this in. We probably don't have a lot
don't
of time.
Don't worry about it. No, I mean, we can do whatever you want.
Yeah, let me just get this in here. One of the worst that I was outraged is John Kaminsky. John Kaminsky.
Oh, yes.
You know, he said, I've been reading things, you know, of his for years, and he actually came out at one point and said, never trust a Jew. Never trust a Jew. Any Jew.
Yep.
And then you know, I had written a couple of commentaries on his work, of course negative, but because basically he's a communist. I called him a neo-Bolshevik, you know, with utopian fantasies. But that's what his work told me, and it was just an ideological thing. It wasn't a personal vendetta against him. I don't even know him. But immediately after I had written these things, just to point out, look, this guy is not a defender of liberty, individual rights or liberty. He's off on these tangents, and he called me. He wrote this thing about me, and he called Barbara Hartwell. I can't remember all the names he called me, but it was something along the lines of a pre-programmed. Oh, here was this: a pre-programmed intellectual whore and a mainstream Republican Zionist demagogue. Can you believe that?
Well, again, I think we've hit all the basic food groups. I don't think there's anything missed there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe the fact that you have like an American Bowling Association card or something like that. He's an idiot. He's an absolute reprobate. I met the guy.
Oh yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe this, because in another thing, I think in the same piece where he just attacked me, only because I disagreed with his ideology, and he also said, I have no doubt that Ms. Hartwell condones putting bullets in the head of Iraqi children, George Bush's war, and putting bullets in the head of Iraqi children. And meanwhile, Keith, I pulled out something, but I pulled out an old thing I wrote, absolutely excoriating Bush and excoriating what was happening over there. And I threw that into my article that I wrote and said, well, no, I didn't. Here's something I did write. And then it was something about, I can hear the angels weeping at the soldiers, our soldiers being killed to die for a lie, and the children being killed. In other words, that was the real thing that I believed. And he had put out this horrible, you know, she has no compunction about putting bullets in the head of an Iraqi children. I mean, these people are scumbags. Can I say that on the air?
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Because, I mean, and I'm complicit with being a phony of sorts. Kaminsky, when I was working at St. Leo University Library, which Kaminsky knew, because Kaminsky lives, you know, here on the West Coast. I get this call, come to the front desk, there's some people that want to see you. I'm like, okay, would this be like police? But anyway, I came out, and it was Kaminsky and his latest bitch, excuse me. And it was kind of nice, and we hugged, and I mean, I was a phony.
This is recently?
No, this would have to be probably no later than 2005, early 2005.
Okay.
Okay? So he was up the way, so we, you know, and we walked around the grounds, and the woman had some accents. I don't know who she was, but she had a Mercedes-Benz she was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we walked around and stuff, and then she made some comment to me. I don't know what it was. I mean, I guess she thought I was a Catholic or something because I was working there.
Uh-huh.
And then I went into my whole screed about the Vatican, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the Jesuits and all this.
Uh-huh.
And she looked at me like I had five heads. And I looked at Kaminsky, who was getting ready to drive because she let him drive her Mercedes-Benz.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at John. I go, am I going to have to read about this in one of your, like, things? And he goes, I don't know. And he just jumped in the car and left. You know, what cracks me up is that, yeah, here we have a prime Jew basher, but can we, like, just look back at one thing? His name is Kaminsky. You know,
okay.
I mean, I'm sorry. That doesn't mean he's Jewish, but, I mean, you know what? There's a lot of spellings of that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just don't understand the whole thing. And
no.
He did some good work. I think you'll agree, Barbara. But then at a certain point, he was just putting crap out for mm-hmm. pure attention.
That's what it looked like to me. But to me, frankly, he seems like a very nasty character. Because when I addressed his work, okay, when I addressed his work, I addressed it because of the ideology and principle. That's what I always do. I don't go out and say, oh, so-and-so's your mama or something. I'm not like that. I address issues. And he came back and slammed me with these completely false charges. And that, to me, is just nastiness.
Well, here's another example. I'll tell you what. I interviewed Kaminsky a couple of times, and one time it was clear he was making his lunch while he was talking to me. I'm like, geez, John, thanks for giving us the time. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I thought that sucked, and that was fine, and I let that go. He never called me, but he called me one time, and it had to be in late 2004 or early 2005, and I was, like, stunned. He called me on my cell phone, and I remember this because I was living, my lady Viz and I were living in a lake house only for a year, so I know that this window is true. And I was, like, stunned. He called me, like, at 5 o'clock Eastern. And, of course, he lives down just below Tampa Bay,
mm-hmm.
In Venice or some, you know, place down there. And he was talking about, well, what do you think about Wing TV whacking Jones like they do? And Victor and Lisa at that time were heavily into whacking Jones. And I said, well, you know what? I tell you, John, I had written an email to him going, look, you whaled him enough. But my only thought was, if you stay there too long, your critics will say, well, what are you doing lately?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's it. You know, I mean, he deserved what he got. But go on to doing the stuff you do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so John was like, oh, okay. And I'm going like, well, what's going on? He goes, oh, nothing. He doesn't call me for, you know, like I said, he never called me before. He never called me later. So here's what went down. He hangs up, fine. The next day, on his site, he put out a piece which really had nothing to do with Victor and Lisa and Wing TV. And then parenthetically, in my estimation, he whacked Victor and Lisa. And I'm saying, and I called him immediately. I'm going, you know what? That piece of crap never called me except last, you know, yesterday afternoon.
Why do you think he did that?
Well, because he was fishing. He
oh.
wanted stuff on them, and I had no problem with them, except that I told, you know, mm-hmm. and I told them, too.
You just gave them an opinion, that's all.
Yeah, and I said, look, I've told them also, you know, whack Jones, you did your job, but get out of there because people will say, you know, you're making a living off this, or whatever, you're camping out on Jones, mm-hmm. and what have you given to us lately? And I look at the same thing for myself, because I whack the Patriot hosts a lot. But if I don't give people decent information, it's like, mm-hmm. well, what's your purpose? So what happened was, I called Lisa and Victor, and I said, man, he called me yesterday, and he was fishing. That's what that son of a bitch was doing, mm-hmm. and that sucks. So I said,
yeah, no, that's dishonorable. That's
of course
very
it is,
dishonorable.
But that's him.
And I can tell. Let me just mention something here, because I don't know Lisa and Victor, but as far as just Lisa is concerned, because I've read her stuff, you know, when they had the website up.
They had good stuff.
And the feeling that I picked up about Lisa was from my heart, in the spirit I picked up, that she is a very, very truthful person. In other words, she really cares about things. I thought that just from reading all the stuff that she wrote, I was horrified and I was disgusted when those idiots came after her. There are another ones. I don't even know these people. They were from that Revere radio stations, Sunny Crack or something.
Awesome.
These porno mongers, and they put out all kinds of lies.
All these
about
little
Lisa.
White shit wannabes who want to be black.
Unbelievable. And, white men. Nothing more pathetic. White men pretending to be some kind of a pimp, you know, and
yeah,
putting
and gangsters,
down,
but they have to be back in their house before 11 because mom and dad will be
pissed. Putting down women, you know, everything to demean women. Oh, it was horrible what they did to her. And again, it comes back to, why do they do things like that? Because a person has the courage to come out with the truth about something. You know, that's you get attacked by these kind of low-life people.
But let's look at this also, and you might not have insight to this, but I do. And I mean, like, again, you know, if you've got any problems with that out there, come to me. And that is these pieces of excrement, especially from Florida. I think most of those were from the Tampa area. Which
are
I'm
they?
Like, oh, God, yeah.
It was appalling. Absolutely
appalling.
Oh,
no, they were horrible. But the thing is, you know, like I said, they're like white kids who want to be black people and want to have bling and all this other crap. But like I said, they have curfews and they have to be home at night. But the point was, who sicked them on them or who allowed it to happen was Jack Blood. And Jack Blood is a piece of crap. And they called out Jack Blood when he was like Clayton and scammed a couple of people. And let me just say this so everybody understands what the deal is. Jack Blood and I had an exchange program going on with guests. And I had that with almost everybody with GCN. That would include Dave and Joyce, No, of course not Alex. Alex was untouchable.
You're talking about the talk show host at GCN.
Yeah, in other words, at that time,
some of them,
we had a good relationship, and you know, they didn't think that I was any kind of threat, and you know, I'm sure I wasn't. But the thing was, I would have guests, and I would shoot them to them. I would get guests from them, and everything was fine. It was working mm-hmm. beautifully.
Yeah.
And with Jack, what happened was, Jack was a little bit concerned about his relationship with Statmiller. And he was saying, you know, I think I got to go. It's not working out with Statmiller. I'm going to go up to GCN. Now, understand those words, up to GCN.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Jack, are you telling me you're going to go to Minnesota? And he goes, yeah, I'm going. Well, now, here's where I'm going to tell, you know, tales out of class. And that is, at that time, my contact left GCN saying, I don't like the way things are going, and I'm gone. And I only said, and that was privy information.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack going, well, you know what? I think I'll go up to GCN. I'm like thinking, well, you know, you can probably do your show right where you're doing it anyway, you know, in Texas. Why are you going to go up there? I said, look, this is just between you and me, but things are a little rocky in GCN as far as my information goes. And I said, that is not for anybody's consumption. It's just to watch your ass. Well, guess what? Jack calls up Ted and goes, hey, what? Guess what? This told me your place is crumbling down. And it goes back through my source, and my source is very nice. I go, look, man, I was just thinking, I was watching out for him and just saying, be cautious, be quiet. And he gave me up. And my contact, thankfully, forgave me and said, don't worry about it. But Jack Blood is a piece of shit. Excuse
me. Well, it's a betrayal, Keith. I
of
mean,
course
you know,
it is.
Somebody that violates your confidence. See, I never heard of Jack Blood. The first time I ever heard, I don't really pay much attention to what's out there. I don't listen to the radio much on internet or anything like that. But the first time I actually ever heard of Jack Blood was when they were harassing Lisa with all that horrible, you know, pornographic filth and you know, harassing and her and everything. And I read that on their website, and I actually wrote something about them, and it's on my website, as a matter of fact. Just look under the title Lisa Giuliani Attacked or Stalked.
Right. But if anybody doubted whether that was true, I mean, my dealings with Blood, and I mean, believe me when I say this, we had a very good relationship. Mm-hmm. And when I told him that, I felt confident. I'm like, Jack, don't pack up the wife and the kid and go up I-35 to Minnesota unless you know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. It was only a good intention and very cautiously said.
Yeah.
And then for him to turn around and dump me, he should sleep with the fishes.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there, Keith, and my observation, I mean, just to give an overview here, my observation is a lot of these people that are out there in the media, they're not looking for truth.
No.
They're not seeking the truth, nor do they even care if they're telling the truth. A lot of them are looking, they're like grandstanders, like Alex Jones is a grandstander, absolutely, just a grand publicity stunts galore. They're grandstanders. They want to aggrandize their ego, and they want to you know, run scams on people for money.
But they want listenership so they can get the advertising money and make, by extension, they want to make money.
Of course.
And money changes everything.
And I tend to completely, I mean, I don't listen to these people. I don't, like I said, I never heard of Jack Blood in my life until I read Lisa's and Victor's commentary about what he was behind these complete, I don't even know what to call them.
Scumbags covers it.
Scumbags. I mean, just people
that good.
Porno mongers and you know, demeaning women with obscenity.
Yep.
And oh my God, I can't tell you how horrified I was.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the vestiges of this whole thing too, I hate to say it, but it's the way it is. Although it seems like they're doing a good thing, this youthful We Are Change movement is not really warming the cockles of my heart.
I don't even know about that, Keith.
Oh, no,
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
Okay, good. Don't. just hide.
Well, I'm not a joiner anyway, Keith.
No.
I'm a recluse.
But these are idiots. I mean, they're all in the shock move. I mean, every generation has those, and I was part of it, let's face it.
What
who,
are they?
Realize that things were just not really right,
mm-hmm.
and it's how you channel that angst that matters.
Yeah,
these guys have locked on to the 9/11 thing, and they have no freaking idea what they're talking about.
Oh.
And I mean, we're just looking at like you know some kind of like, I don't know, you know, like gangsta video. And it's like, okay, great guys, that'll work really well.
Well, see, here's the problem. Here's the problem. You get an issue. I mean, I'm just speaking philosophically here, but you get an issue like 9/11, which is probably the single biggest issue right now if you look at, since it happened.
Yeah,
you know,
agreed.
In other words,
agreed.
For the,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the so-called patriot movement or whatever you want to call it, truth, 9/11 truth, it's a big issue because it created a tremendous amount of very negative things that followed, you know, which were planned in advance. We already know that, like the, you know, the Patriot Acts and the Homeland Security. I mean, that was already plotted, but still,
sure.
After the fact, we have all this suddenly to deal with in the open, and so people, yeah, they want to get involved. They want to do something about it, but they don't do their homework. They don't gather the facts. You don't just go out shooting your mouth off, you know, and whatever they're doing. You have to consolidate the information. You have to get the facts, and people don't bother. They don't bother with that anymore.
Well, there seems to be, and I will admit, and this is why I'm saying to people, don't exonerate yourself from doing this. they're saying, well, I'm just passing the information along. If you don't vet it, then you become what that information is being passed along. Mm-hmm. And if it is histrionic and hyperbolic and basically just a gross exaggeration, then you also have to take responsibility for being part of the problem, because this stuff is just Chicken Little babble.
That's exactly what I have called it, Keith. You know, the Chicken Littles, the sky is falling. And I'm a person who I do everything myself, from my writing and anything that I speak about on a radio program. If I have not investigated it or experienced it or witnessed it or am dealing with trustworthy sources and witnesses, I do not promote it. It's irresponsible.
Yeah, and I think that too many people who are passing information along, and I've had a couple of reasonable bouts with some people in these email groups and stuff, and I'm going, look, man, you can't back this up. And you're passing, and I can understand it. If you pass it along as, let's consider this, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's okay. But you're saying, oh, look, this is it. I'm like,
yeah.
No,
uh-huh.
It's not. We don't know that, and stop it. I mean, even to the point where, Barbara, you can well imagine that everybody's like speculating about, oh, well, that commuter plane that was a vestige of Continental Airlines that went down in Buffalo, well, there was a 9/11 activist on that, and they blew the whole plane just to kill her. I'm going,
who was it?
The woman's name was Beverly Eckert.
Okay.
But understand something, too, Barbara. The thing is, she is not deep into the fact of that the government had complicity. Like the Jersey Girls, the famed Jersey Girls.
Well, she happened to be on the plane, and they were promoting a conspiracy theory that the plane went down just to get her.
Yeah.
It's not. Well, let me say it this way, first of all. It's been known to happen, but it doesn't mean that it did happen. And when they start promoting based on speculation, it sounds to me like wild speculation,
yeah.
Right?
But this is what happens.
Yes.
And then people start to push it across. My point is that I never pass, let me restructure that. I pass along maybe half a percent of what I get, and I only do it amongst what I would consider like close personal confidence, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing is, this stuff automatically just gets legs. And I but this last time around, I just said, look, hold on. Why in the world would you want to whack her with 50 other people and go through all the machinations of dropping a plane just short of the runway in Buffalo, when if she, and mm-hmm. God bless her to this day, she was widowed. She was alone. Why not just go ahead and cut her brake lines or poison?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Keith, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, let me tell you this. I know how these people operate, and they have been known to take out a plane. They don't care about human life. They have no respect. They've been known to take out that's not the type of person that they would do that to.
Oh.
You're exactly right. They would have done something like arranged a, quote, accident. They've done that to me. They've arranged a number of, quote, accidents, car crashes. I survived them all. But that's what they would do. I mean, and I'm not saying that they wouldn't, you know,
that possibility is there.
Target. But these conspiracy theorists, you know, they're ready to jump on any wagon that rolls down the road, you know, anything that comes down the pike. Oh, my God, they have fascinated this person. And meanwhile, they don't know what they're talking about.
No, they don't.
You know who does that? It's Ken Adachi. Ken Adachi is full of stories like that. You know, the most absurd, totally absurd things that you've ever seen. Things that you just read them. And you're like, what has this guy been smoking?
Yeah, I know.
You know, where does he come off with this information? And that's what's out there. I mean, you know, some of them true. The information is being fed to them by government operatives. That's true in a lot of the cases. But a lot of times you just get these self-important people that join these little email groups or chat groups, and they want to get attention. You know, they get a bee in their bonnet over some little thing. And they'll put something like that out, and the next thing you know, it's all mass hysteria.
You know, really, that's the point. At this stage, you know, where we're going, there's obviously and you well know it just by whatever you osmotically take in, be it whatever newspaper you might pick up there in down east Maine, or if you do occasionally turn the channel. I mean, we all know what's going on. But to go ahead and affix such nefarious means to everything that's going on does one of two things. It will keep a certain amount of people fixed to their radios or TVs, mm-hmm. you know, shortwave yeah. radios or whatever, listening for every single thing that comes through, or it will just definitely turn people off and go, look, there's nothing we can do here,
yeah.
and I'm just going to lay down and die. And I would say I'm somewhere in between, because I realize, and Barbara, I think you do too, that we're dealing with Satan. I mean, we're dealing
yes.
with what has been prophesied.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, 308s and AK-4, you know, it isn't going to do the job. The thing
no,
is...
That's right. But here's the thing. This is what I believe anyway. You know, as a Christian, okay, and I am speaking to Christians here, but as a Christian, it is our duty to do something and to participate not in the deeds of darkness, but expose them. Okay, that's I don't even remember. I know that scripture, but I can't remember which one it is. But it's do not participate in the deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And it might be Ephesians, I think. But that's what we need to do. We need to tell the truth. If we see evil, this is what I feel. If
okay,
we see
agreed.
Evil,
okay.
we confront it wherever we find it. You don't have to go out and look for it. You can find it. It's in your face. If you see something that's evil, if you see liars, if you see people that are trying to harm others, you do something. You do to whatever your means is. Not everybody can do everything, but you have to do something. You can't just sit back and say, I'm going to curl up and die.
No, but what I want to ask you is this. I think information is a great tool. And I also think what's coming down is an excellent opportunity to share Christ with people and say, look,
yes.
and I'll say this for myself, Barbara, and I mean, this is not putting pressure on you, but, you know, my catchphrase is the only way is up. The only way out is up.
Yes.
We can talk about it. We can make people aware of it. But this monolith is really bearing down on us. But the thing was, it's always kind of like been like that, because if you look at the history of the world, we know that Satan has been in charge with all the kingdoms, and
yes.
he's been given a leash of just such, you know, a length, and then finally it'll end. And I think we're looking at the time, and this is,
yes.
you know, just my statement, and you're going to definitely address this, where that leash is starting to get shorter and shorter, and we will find who trusts in the Lord and who doesn't.
Well, that's right. And you know what, Keith? I'll tell you this. The reason, remember I told you that in the past, I wouldn't even talk about the fact that I was a Christian because of
right.
all the idiocy that people were out there, and they were actually harassing me. Some of these so-called hidebound fundamentalists, really obnoxious, you know, like Pam Schufer. That's another one.
Yeah, she's an idiot.
But anyway, I would just tell these people, like, go away. You know, I don't really want to discuss this with you. My personal relationship with God is my business, and it's true. But the more I see of the evil that's out there, I finally put up on my website so all can see, because I feel that's my duty also. I put up sovereign child of God and believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what I am. And if somebody reads my articles and then they realize, well, this person is a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they're not, perhaps they might be influenced to look into it, at least find out what it's about, you know, because I agree, we should be sharing Christ. As a brother and sister in Christ, obviously we share with each other, but for those who are unsaved, if you want to say it, you know, in that way, unsaved, I believe it's my duty to at least put something out. I don't have to go proselytizing and harassing people,
right.
but I can offer something and say, well, here's what I believe, and you know, why don't you look into it to see what you feel? That's the best I can do anyway. You know?
No, and I agree. And the thing that we have spoken about with other Christians on this show is to counter the dominionist of attitudes by Pat Robertson and others who feel we have to go out and shed blood to help Jesus out. And I mean, I'm just not understanding that.
Yeah, I heard, again, we talked about Charlie, you know, Charles Giuliani, he was on your show, and he did an excellent program. I posted it on my website, as a matter of fact, too. He did an excellent program about, he covered some of that stuff. And he's another one, I can tell, he's a spirit-filled Christian.
Yeah, he is.
And he's not afraid. He's not afraid to go out there and tell the truth, to slam these people, these minions of Satan. You have to expose them. That's my firm belief. And if you go on my website, you'll see all kinds of, I name all kinds of names, because I simply don't tolerate that, Keith.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I despise liars. I certainly despise people who would endanger the lives of children, pedophiles, porno mongers. I mean, I loathe pornography. That's another tool of Satan. You know, people laugh because they think that, you know, some people, they think, you know, you look on the internet, it's filled with pornography. They think it's normal. They think, oh, it's okay. It's okay to use pornography. But no, it's not. No, it's not, because you're opening the door. You're opening the door to be possessed by demons. I mean, and that is a fact.
Well, I don't think there's any argument that that has well taken place. There's no two ways about it.
Say it again.
I mean, I don't think there's any problem with the fact that that has definitely invested so many people.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to invite a demon in, and many have done so.
That's right. In fact, you know what, Keith? I'd just like to recommend for somebody that's interested in that topic. I have one report on there. It's called God's Liberation from the Morality Wasteland, and it's about pornography, and it's about you know, people laugh at me because I say, well, I don't believe in sex outside of marriage. You know, marriage is sacred. It was created by God, and that's what the article is about. And it does explain in actually pretty metaphysical terms precisely how you're opening the door, you're rolling out the red carpet for demons if you're using pornography, and that God did not create marriage except for between a man and a woman, period. You know, not you know, serial monogamy, which is just really serial fornication. I mean, it really, demons are real, and if you use pornography and if you abuse your body instead of making it a temple for the glory of God, that's what you're going to get.
Well, you invite them in.
Exactly.
And they can only come in unless you ask for them to come in.
Exactly. That's right.
So the good news is, if you refrain from that, you have less problems.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you something, Keith. I have witnessed many times demon possession. I have witnessed it happen to people. And I have actually cast out demons. And I know that they're real. And I know that they're in some of these people that we've been talking about today on the program. I'm not going to name any names, but I have certainly witnessed it. Well, you can hear it in their voices. It's just unmistakable.
Barbara, you hit on a good thing that we might end this interview with, and that is, let's really get down to it. Isn't it interesting that most of America will be okay with watching movies about, oh, Satanist groups and such, right? I mean, think about The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they embraced that and didn't think it was true. I'm not intimating that at all. But what I am intimating is that people across America, and as you can watch on TV shows, will deal with Satanist groups or satanic groups. Mm-hmm. That's okay. People can figure that out. But when you turn around and confront them right in the face and say, you're dealing with Satan and his movement to take over the world, they're like, oh, that's balderdash.
No, but that's the problem, Keith. My problem, the problem that I have, the frustration that I feel, is when I look around me, you know, there's a reason that I am a recluse. I have renounced the world. I mean, that's just for me. I know it's not for everybody.
Agreed. Okay, yeah.
When I walk out, just going to a supermarket or going out someplace, any place in public, and I observe, or on the rare occasions when I do, say, watch television at somebody's house or whatever, what I'm seeing is something, it's unbearable to me. It's an unbearable mentality of the world. And, you know, it even says in the Bible, if you're you have to be an enemy of the world to be a friend of God. And by the world, it doesn't mean the people in it, because Jesus Christ admonished us to love one another. It means the ways of the world. It means the structures of the world, the political power, and just everything ruled by Satan that's meant to take you away from God, to shut the door in God's face. And you have to open the door. You're the one that has, just like you open the door to a demon, you can open the door to the Lord. Yep. Jesus Christ. That's my feeling anyway.
There was a song written and done by the late Keith Green that did a perspective from Satan, and the title was Nobody Believes in Me Anymore.
Yeah.
And the greatest disguise is to be thought that you don't exist or you are incapable of power.
Exactly.
And I think that's where we're at right now.
It's the father of all lies. And yes. The last thing I want to say is people should read C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters.
Letters.
How a senior devil instructs a junior. Yep. Devil in the art of temptation.
Barbara, ironic you would say that, because I will tell you this. That is the only C.S. Lewis book I read. And I'm happy to have stayed there. But that was, and I read that, dig this, in 65.
Really?
It did not all settle in. But later on, you know, you get those aha moments of like, oh, that's what Lewis was saying.
Yes.
Whatever that book was about, I think that is as pure as Lewis ever was. And I would agree. Wormwood.
Yeah.
Wormwood's approach to humankind.
Yeah.
Yes, beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah. All right, look, we've been talking with Barbara Hartwell. We've done this for four shows. This is the longest of the four. And I think you folks will tell us if you'd like to see her come back again and under, you know, maybe other situations like perhaps a call-in show or whatever. But no matter what, Barbara, thanks for coming on. And as you well know, and I think as people might have divined from the other three interviews we've done, that I needed to talk to you, and I was glad that we did. It's been a long, long time.
Yes. Well, God bless you, Keith, and thank you very much.
And all the things I'd want, I'd never need. I'd be an ace in an aeroplane, and every year I'd fly to Spain. If I could get the nerve to plant the seed. Submarine beneath the icebergs, never seen. A hero with a medal for every day. Finally fame reached the top, I'll keep on pushing till the star. If I could just forget her name. If only I had my mind on something else.